Straight from South Africa.
This is the strange and mysterious world with your hosts, Lee Straighten and William Pollinson.
Welcome to season one, episode 28 of Strange Mysterious World. We have actually a part two. We spoke to our Feng Shui guru, Debbie Fox, and apparently she spent a bit of time with William this morning. Was it this morning?
No, it was actually last night. We were going to do it this morning, but then we ended up doing it last night. Yes.
Okay. How long did the session go on for? It was a remote session.
Yeah, it was a remote session. So we went through my house on the phone. Yeah. Well, I sent her my, all the things she asked me, like when the house was built, and then I didn't have a house plan because it's a rented flat.
Yeah.
So I just drew one. Well, that took a while. The cohorts, my friend, like to draw that thing. I was pacing this house, and then with the ruler, I was like, okay, 1 centimeter is a meter. And I don't even know if it was a meter because I was doing it in steps. And then I was just drawing this, and then to figure out, it was quite a session. It took me like 15 minutes to draw this thing.
Okay.
I was quite impressed, actually. I was like, geez, this actually worked out quite well. So then, and then she looks at that and she sees which drop her a pin. So she can see where you are, and then she gives which way is east, west, north, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then she last night she showed me the diagram of what she came up with.
Yeah.
And also relates to my birth date. And she gave me some quite helpful tips, also made me a bit scared about a few things.
Oh. Okay. And,
yeah. But I don't know. When she comes on, you want to talk about it then?
Yeah, you can. Let's chat about it, because then she can kind of maybe chatting some other stuff that she's got. But what were you scared of?
So anyway, so she said to me, okay, well, firstly, she walks through the house with me and she can feel the energy from her side. And it's funny because certain areas, she said, she was like, can you feel the energy there? Can you feel? And I felt this like pressure on my forehead and this tingling sensation on my forehead. But, and I was thinking, no, I can actually feel something here. But, you know, and she's like, her reaction, she was like, yeah, it's there. Yo, what is that? What is that? And then like,
it's the toilet.
I don't know what it is. And then she asked me, she said, just show me outside. I just want to see if there's anything like a satellite dish like beaming at your house or like some kind of electronical towers or something outside. So I'm getting a bit worried. I'm thinking, okay, well, there's obviously some bad frequency or something that she's picking up here.
5G towers.
I'm standing outside and we can't see anything outside. But what was also worrying me is that in all my stages of trying to like be able to astral project and have out of body experiences, I had these one binaural beats that I was listening to while I was meditating every day. And after a while, when I was in my flat, I would always hear this humming. And it was actually when I just first moved in here and I started getting depressed because I was like, oh my gosh, I just moved in this. Now there's this irritating humming, this constant humming. And I can't deal with it because I just hate this. It's like this whole vibration that I could just hear the whole time. And it was really making me depressed because I just moved in here and I thought, oh my God, I can't actually handle this noise. I'm going to have to move out. And then after a while, I started thinking, well, maybe it's these binaural beats. Maybe it was like fucking up my, I don't know what it was doing. But anyway, so I stopped the binaural beats and then eventually the humming went away. So I don't know if that was inside of me.
Or maybe what frequency of binaural beats were you listening to?
Oh, geez, I'm not actually sure. It was Joel Wexler's out of body binaural beats. So I couldn't understand if it was like, if it was just my eardrums fucking out or something, or if it was making me sensitive. I think it probably, now that I think back to it, it was probably making me sensitive to something. And now that I've stopped the binaural beats, it's gone away. So then when Debbie was taking me through the house and she kept on saying like, oh, there's all this like interference in the house. I just thought, okay, well, maybe that I was picking that up when those binaural beats made me very sensitive to whatever's happening, which also makes me worried because I'm like, well, what is this thing now? Like, you know, like maybe I should move out. Okay. So that was the one thing. Then she came into my meditation space where I meditate on the side here every morning, every evening. And she said, okay, well, that's great. It's a very good spot to meditate. The energy is good. Then when I give guided meditations, I sit on the opposite side of the room and you'll see on the graph, it's that section of the house is not good for me, but in my kitchen it's really good and I can manifest there. So I must just start cooking more or something, spend some time in the kitchen.
Do your meditations from there?
Yeah. I'm just going to sit on the oven and like, it's a winter now. So I turn it on and I can heat up and do some, what do you call it? Like a hot yoga, some Bikram.
hot stone massage.
Yeah. I just lie on my chest on the stove. And then there's this room that I've got on the side here that actually I was thinking about turning into a healing room to do my Reiki and my crystal healing. And she said, yeah, do not use that room for anything. It's actually a storage room at the moment. So she's like, great. That room's no good for anything.
Okay.
And the bedroom, she says, is okay. And but then in the middle of the room, like there was all these astrological like numbers. And she said, no, in 6 months, this is going to start affecting you like financially. Right. This is not good news. So she says, you better just watch your finances for the next 6 months. If you start noticing something, then I suggest you move.
Shit.
But she said that there was good, the from where my meditation room, there is good energy coming from that side. So it could affect it, that it could offset it. Uh-huh. But she said, I must just watch it and just use my intuition and just see what I think, if I should move or not, because it could start affecting me.
And could you not use, so like, we're going to be chatting to her about crystals now. That you can use in the house. Could you not use certain crystals that would maybe negate that sort of thing?
Yes. Well, she also says that there's bad energy by my front of my door.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm having some problems with my daughter's mother, and she was saying like, well, that's from these two numbers that are at the front door.
Okay.
And she said I must just put some red there to try and like change it.
Okay.
So. And also when I'm working, there's good energy there and it's good creative energy. So I actually had my intuition actually made me work in the right place, which is great. So yeah, that's what so far.
And how long was the session, you said?
Well, it would have gone about half an hour, but like I asked questions and we talked and we went off a bit of topic and we talked about so many other things. It ended up going on for about an hour.
Okay.
I think, right.
Cool. What time is she ready to come on today?
Yeah, now in 6 minutes.
All right, cool. Maybe she's ready. We can bring on, man. Part two.
Yeah, man. How's your Rosicrucian stuff going?
Yeah, well, it's good. I've struggled a little bit this week. I've been quite busy at work. So, you know, I've been trying to be reading that first part, which kind of gives you the history of it.
Yeah.
How it came about, which we kind of, I think we've covered this. We've covered this topic where it actually originated from, which was in Egypt. So we knew that quite way back, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. But
obviously, this is just a little bit more interesting with regards to who was involved and Isaac Newton and, you know, all those guys, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so like, I mean, for people that are listening, me and Lee joined the Rosicrucians. We paid our like yearly fee. Luckily, I paid because I joined first. So I paid a full amount, and he came on as my beneficiary, so he paid like a quarter of the amount. Which
well,
I paid for.
You paid, not me.
So I dragged him along, like
yeah,
was like a what do you call it, like a dogmatic religious person. Like, no, you're coming to church with me. You will believe in this.
You will follow the route.
Get on your knees and pray, boy. Otherwise, you're going to hell.
Yeah. It's actually been pretty cool. So far, what are we in now? Week three. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. So just the listeners again, they send us, it's like a study thing. They send us documents every week. So you can, it takes about an hour to study. You just read through the stuff they give you. And then there's in Cape Town, there's temple every Tuesday for members. And there's an open evening every first week of every month for people that are not members. And then so I was at the temple on Tuesday and it was very interesting. We did a lot of meditation and then they went through some class material. It's mainly speaking about like psychic like abilities and stuff like that, which is very interesting. And that's how, you know, if you study, you could open up, you know, your psychic abilities in the certain pamphlets and stuff they send every week. So that was quite exciting. I look forward to seeing what's. I've only done week one. I haven't even done the second week. But week one, but it was very interesting. That's where we learned how to do the sanctum meditation.
Yes.
Which you can explain because you had some cool experiences with that.
Well, I don't know. Are we allowed to? Are we allowed to talk about it?
Well, it's pamphlets 777 and 888. So those ones I said we can give it to the public.
Okay. Well, that's actually pretty cool. So what you've actually got to do in your mind space, in your mind's eye, you've got to create a inner sanctum where you can go in your mind, you can go and meditate at a certain time, whenever you want to go. You can actually go any time of the day. But in your mind, you've actually got to visualize a space, whether it be out in the open, you might maybe out in the forest, or you're at the beach, or you know, anywhere. I've got a specific place that I created actually about 12, 15 years ago. I'd created this area, not knowing why I'd done it, but I'd created this area to go to when I was meditating. And all I did was, when we started this thing again, I actually just brought that back. And that's kind of where I've been going every night. I think I've actually only missed one night.
Great. Well, that's good.
I had a couple of glasses of wine, so I didn't really want to, you know, in that state, I didn't really want to go and meditate. So, but barring that, it's actually pretty cool. So, but the thing is, when you've got your inner sanctum, or it's called the celestial sanctum. But when you've got that going, you need to, I know you had a bit of trouble with your one. I call it the inner sanctum. They call it the celestial sanctum. So I'm going to just refer it to inner sanctum, but you've got to be as detailed as possible. So when you get to your temple or to your outdoor area where you are, you've got to imagine, so say you're in the forest and you're by trees. You've got to imagine the trees. You've got to see what type of trees there are. Are they palm trees? Are they red oak trees? Are they what trees? You must be specific in what you're looking at. What kind of grasses are there? Are there ferns? Is it bluegrass? You know, whatever, you've got to be very specific of the creatures that live there, of the sand that you're walking on. It's got to be so, so specific. And the more specific you are, the easier it is for you to actually leave the outside world behind. Does it make sense? You'll be more encapsulated by what's going on inside your mind. And then obviously, you know, once you've got that down to a T, you can then find a space to meditate. And then you can do, you know, there's certain things that you can do. You can give light to the universe. You can give light to the people on earth. You can give light, whatever. Or if you need some sort of healing, you can get healing from there. You just got to kind of ask for it. There is certain things that you've got to say before you enter the temple, which was kind of like a asking for, I'm not going to say the whole thing yet, but it's basically just asking for some sort of guidance when you enter, to make sure that you are pure.
It kind of unlocks.
Like you're pure and you're worthy of going in. You don't want to be going in with like negative thoughts and all that kind of stuff. You want to go in when you're still calm and collected and good thoughts going and those kind of things. So,
but like what I thought of with the advocation that you've got to say before you go in, before you start the meditation, is like a way of unlocking it's like a key to unlock to it. So when you go into your sanctum, you're actually in the Rosicrucian like energy.
Yeah.
Whatever, there's angels that are part of them and whatever are helping you in that space or that energy, and it kind of directs everyone that's doing that every day to that same kind of energy, so that you're all in that same energy and you can all work together in that energy to bring healing to yourself or the world or whatever. So it's like an advocation to get there to that space. So you say the advocation and then you get transmuted through your meditation into that world. So could I say, or that energy or that, or I don't know what you would call it, but it's so that you are dealing with that Rosicrucian kind of, and it's also, it could be even like a tulpa kind of effect, because if enough people are doing that and having the same like intention or whatever and using that same advocation to get to that same space, then it can be like that alternative realm where all that energy is going. And that's when, you know, you're in that space and you can you think about, okay, well, I want to send healing energy to my mother because she's sick. Then it'll take all of that energy and those angels or whatever's working in that space, whatever, and it'll take it or maybe it's just as unlocking to the divine, you know, energy of
cosmic
the world,
essence.
Whatever. So, and then it'll send that energy to your mother or yourself, whatever you want to do. And then that's how I gather how it works.
Yeah, no, you're right. So what I actually did on my sanctum is I created a force field. So you can't enter it. You cannot enter until you've actually said that invocation. Can't go in.
And at the end to close it,
Yeah, so correct. So once you've said it, it'll opens up like a doorway in the force field, and you can walk through and then go into your sanctum.
Okay, well, here's Debbie here, so let's let it
air. All right, cool, she says. How's it, Debbie?
She probably left because like I didn't let it in for ages. Are we talking about inner sanctum?
The inner sanctum, the celestial sanctum.
Yes. Hey, Debbie.
Hello.
How's it, Debbie?
How are you?
Yeah, good, and you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good, good. Good. How are you doing?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm good, yes. Thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, great. A good sleep?
You didn't put your tinfoil hat on today.
And you?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
I did, yes.
You put your tinfoil hat on. You sleep with one on.
That's how people would think of us.
Well, my daughter's mother thinks I wear a tinfoil hat permanently because I believe in UFOs. But I broke up my ghost busting app last night because it's got an EFM.
Did
reader
you? Up. Well done.
And I was walking around the house looking at the. And it's an EMF reader. That's what it is actually. But it's in a ghost
EMF reader,
finding app. And then and every time I went near the plugs, it would like start going around all the plug areas. And I went around my bed because you said there was like weird energy around my room there. So, but it was definitely the charger that I have my phone next to my head while I'm sleeping. There's the charger there. It's like going off the chart there. So I put the charger on the floor. Now I'm charging my phone on the floor. Because, it was quite scary.
No, you need to put it off.
I don't know how to charge my phone.
It's like this, though. The frequency is huge. Charge it in the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go old school with an alarm clock. One of those old school alarm clocks.
Alarm clock, darling.
Yeah, or just put it on loud. So from the kitchen, you can hear it in the bedroom and it goes off.
Oh, geez, I'm going to be late for set every day.
Yes, or just put it in the cupboard or something so you can hear it. As long as there's a bit of wood or something between you and it,
I'm going to build
you're shielded
a wooden box.
From it.
Why don't you put it in a drawer? Don't you have a drawer
wooden
that's got
box.
Wood?
Yeah.
Just put it in your drawer, man.
There we go. And put it in your drawer. But don't charge it. The charging is it makes it the frequency huge.
Oh, jeez. Okay, well.
And also, did you put your Wi-Fi off, the actual Wi-Fi itself? Did you not pick up anything from the Wi-Fi with your ghost-busting thing?
Actually, I want to go near the Wi-Fi thing, but...
You failed.
I did. I turned it off. It's so funny. The first night when we were talking about it, I did turn it off. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, what if it, like... I don't know. I just got it's weird.
OCD.
I got worried. OCD. I was like, jeez, this is weird turning this thing off.
Am I going to get late? What's going
to
happen?
Because we're so used to it. I know. We get so hooked onto it. It's quite bizarre, actually. But we do sleep better without it. I mean, you can get stuff like organite or tachyons to block them. There's lots of things you can use to block these frequencies.
Well, that's actually what we want to talk about now. So I was having a chat to one of the guys at work, and he was telling me he's actually having a torrid time sleeping. He's got a 5G tower outside his property. Ooh. Well, probably about 200 meters away from his property.
Jeez, well, they just put it there now.
No.
Yeah, it's up in the last kind of
good
2 months.
Grief.
He says he can't sleep. Man. It's like the buzzing is going. He says no one else in the family can hear it, but he can hear this buzzing like constantly. And it's just like seriously annoying him. So I said, well, look, I'm actually having a discussion this week with our podcast regarding that. And then maybe there's certain ways that you could prevent those things from happening and certain things that you can purchase, like the crystals that we spoke about. So this is why I'm actually very keen to talk about this, because even my sister-in-law, when I spoke to her yesterday, Jackie from Pietermaritzburg, she said to me as well, that's because I was telling her about the cell phone frequencies and that, and she said, well, what do we do? And I said, well, listen to the podcast and we can, you can kind of understand. Listen.
This is a great way to get people to the podcast.
Yeah, man, come in.
Spread some fear and then get some clickbait going. Yeah,
come on, spread some fear. Yes, we're doing mainstream media here. Fear everybody.
You've got to have your tinfoil hat on. Come on.
You've got to have your tinfoil, otherwise you're doomed.
Yeah, with tourmaline horns.
Oh, it's hectic.
Okay, so look,
yes, tourmaline horns. There we go. Yes.
Obviously, we know that the biggest threat currently is our cell phones, because it's on us every day. I know people get sort of ball cancer from that.
Being by your pocket.
It's not a laughing matter, but it's
this cancer too.
Yeah, and the brain cancer.
No, it's not. And here as well, brain cancer too.
So what actually, because it is electromagnetic frequency, which is harmful, but how do we stop the cell phone? Specific, so we'll go into specifics. So let's talk about cell phones or your iPads, all those kind of things. What specifically can the people use for cell phones and iPads and whatever?
There's lots of little devices. The ones that I've come across are the tachyons. So you can see on the back of mine, I've gone a bit crazy.
They look like coins.
I've got three of them, and I've got this other thing here. So they're not coins. No, they're called FosTax. And you stick them to the back of your phone, or you slip them between the cover and the phone, and it reduces the effect on your body of the Wi-Fi. So there are a lot of things. Tachyon's one of them.
You get a tachyon?
I don't know what the other makes are, actually. I can get them for you, or you can go online. Just people can get hold of me, or they can just literally go online and order online.
Okay, well, so, you must give us your email address and stuff.
Okay, I'll give you my email address. I forgot to send it. I will send it. But that's your and for me, the best thing is to keep the thing away from you. You know, don't sleep with it next to your bed. People, as I told you before, people sleep with it under their pillows. I came across two people who said they had constant headaches, and they went to the doctor who gave them lots of pills. And I said, where's your cell phone? Oh, it's under my pillow. And you just think, so don't sleep with it near you. People can't feel it because they've got so used to it. But when you ask them to actually put their hand near it, they'll start to feel a prickling or a pressure. So the furthest away is the best, really.
And how far away
in
should
a cupboard,
it be?
At least 2 meters.
And
don't
if it's
charge
charging,
it at
if
night.
It's charging? Next,
at least 3 meters away. You don't because you see what happens is when you're charging, it amplifies. And the thing is, what people forget is that our bodies have got to maintain homeostasis. And homeostasis means a balance. It's got to be balanced. So if another frequency comes in and it starts to hit the body's now got to try and create this balance in it. So it spends the night trying to keep this other frequency out of it. So we don't get a decent sleep. Yeah. Okay. So the further away these things are, the better.
And then say, for example, what about grounding?
Grounding and grounding you can. Yes. So if you mean like something to ground you in your bed?
Yeah.
I've got a grounding sheet and a grounding pillow.
Your grounding sheet, you have to be naked. You can't sleep with clothing because otherwise your skin's not touching.
I know, that's why I got the pillow.
I used to have another one.
That's why I got the pillow because then it's on my face. On my,
okay. Great.
I heard about that.
There's a guy called...
I put the grounding sheet on the bottom of my bed because I actually put it on the bottom of the bed so my feet, because I don't sleep with socks on, then my feet are always on it. Even in winter, then my feet are always on
it. Your feet are on it. That's perfect. Mm, that'll help a lot. Yeah.
What's it made of? Grounding sheets.
Grounding sheets.
Grounding sheets. It's made out of silver.
Wires in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got like silver wires in it, or silver. It's like made out of silver, and then you
tinfoil wires.
Plug it.
Tinfoil wires.
and then you plug it into there's a cable that you run, and you plug it into the earthing of your electrical. You know, because you always got an earthing, because your building has to be earthed. Otherwise, if you have a trip, your building will catch fire. So that there's always an earthing on in all your electrical places. I mean, so you plug it into that earthing spot, and then I bought an earthing detector to see if this is how it works. And I bought a, what do you call it, like a thing that measures frequency. So like I hold onto it and it could see the frequency of my body. It's like a voltmeter, but you got to get the very sensitive one because a lot of the voltmeters only start from a certain frequency that won't pick up your body because like it's useless for the electrical world because I mean, you know, when you're measuring electricity, you want it to start from a higher voltage so you can, but you can get ones online that you can, measure lower frequencies. And I could, when I hold onto it, I go like to like a 30 or 40, whatever. It's funny, when you hold onto someone else, it goes to like 60. It's like doubles the amplitude of the voltage, which is quite interesting. So then I go to my bed and I touch the grounding sheet when it's plugged in and it goes straight down to zero. And I touch the pillow and it goes straight down to zero. So it works. It's a thing, you know. So you can measure it with equipment, which scientifically it proves it.
Okay.
So
scientifically.
And the tachyons now, how much do they reduce the say you didn't have them on and you were charging your phone and it is a 3 meter radius. With the tachyon on, How much does it reduce it by?
I would say it reduces. Well, for me, when if I don't have the equipment to measure,
yeah.
I use a dowsing rod. Okay. So if it's 2 meters out, when you yeah. without charging, not charging, it brings it into about half a meter, like this. What is this?
Yeah.
30 centimeters.
30 centimeters.
So it does bring it in, but I've never tested it charging. So I would think that's probably a meter out. But I just think people should just keep it away from them. You know, put it in the cupboard, put it in the bathroom, put it in the next room, and charge it outside of the room, because even your plug emits a frequency. So you need to also you need to deal with that as well. And you can put, as I mentioned, tourmaline or a rose quartz or amethyst on that to block it, or our tin foil. Especially if it's behind your head, you need to take, you know, that's, these plug points go behind the head. That's they emit about a 30 centimeter corona. I think I mentioned that before, that'll affect your sleep. Yeah. So,
and okay, of course, so you put little bits of tourmaline off
is, and it doesn't have to be big. It can be little pieces onto the plug point itself. Yeah.
Okay. Now, when you say turning the Wi-Fi off, are you talking about, if you've got the router in your room, or are you talking about just like my router is like 20 meters away, but it's like in the other building.
The thing is that if you're receiving
signal,
sorry,
no, I think you were going to say the same thing.
If you're receiving signal in your bedroom, your body's receiving the signal.
Okay.
You see, so the best, it's, people don't want to put it off at night because the security's on, la la la. And if you're going to do that, then you want to do the sheet. You want to do the grounding sheet. There's a guy called Albert who makes things that you can wear on your foot, and it plugs into the wall, and that also reduces the earth hue, so you can sleep in your bed without taking anything out. But I still take everything out. Another thing that has just popped into my mind is if a lot of people who rent places, in fact now it's actually seems to be the rule around the world, is putting these smart meters in. And these smart meters are basically little mini cell phone towers in your house.
Okay.
Because, of course, it's receiving the messages the whole time. And they are pretty hectic, I must be honest with you. So you need to also lock those things. And thank goodness I had Albert's help. This is a guy that he's gone into this. He's an engineer. He's gone into working out how to work with these frequencies. And he told me about mesh. So I've got mesh up. Literally, it's fine mesh, which is earthed into the plug, and that just blocks it. And now I sleep perfectly, whereas before I wasn't. But not everybody's affected by it, meaning that they don't feel it. So they think that there's nothing going on. But the body is always being affected by it.
Okay. Now, what about microwaves? I mean, how far does if you're using a microwave, how far out does a microwave frequency beam or come out?
Quite a long way, actually. It depends if it's old, hey? If it's old, it can be like 5 meters.
Really? Sure. Okay. So, and new ones?
I was at a friend. New ones are pretty well insulated. So I don't have one, but I haven't tested it, to be honest with you. But yeah. I definitely know. I was at a friend's house, and she had an old one, and I had to stand behind the door out of the kitchen while she had it on, because I just was like, oh, but she was fine because she was used to it, you know. Yeah.
Sure.
I think that the newer ones are pretty insulated.
All right. And TVs?
Yes, TVs are a good one, because the TVs also have a very big frequency, even if they're off, interestingly enough, because they're plugged into the wall.
Yeah.
So the electricity is flowing into them. Where electricity flows, you've got a like an aura of, or a corona of the electricity. So I always suggest people, actually, if they've got it in their bedroom, which is best not to, because it's not good for a partnership to have a TV in the bedroom, you know, rather than looking at one another, you're looking at the TV kind of thing, is to put it off at the wall. You know, it's true, actually, it's true. And a lot of people have these little boxes, you know, what do you call these little, whatever they are for your movies.
Well, like Netflix.
Mnet, I don't have anything like that. Yeah, those kind of things. They have those little boxes in the room, and that's emitting a whole pile of stuff too. So best to actually just put it off at the wall, which people don't want to do. But then you can get the stuff called organites, which you can put around it. To me, best put it off. But you can buy things too. You can buy the tachyons. You can buy the organite. That definitely reduces it a huge amount. It really does.
So would organite work on a TV as well?
works on everything. It's really, really good. Yeah, no, it works very well. It's very well, very good. It's a very good product. Yeah.
You know what interests me is that, you know, from the, like you said, the whatever's got electricity in it, like it radiates this thing quite badly. And I mean, I took my EMF reader and all my plug points like really start buzzing a lot on the
absolutely.
The thing goes upside. But then when I'm like driving and I see those huge pylon, like electricity pylons, and you see all the birds sitting on the wire, and I'm thinking like, geez, well, how does it not affect the bird? Like,
I mean, it's not touching the ground.
No, but I'm just saying because
it's not touching the ground.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying like that. There's so much electricity running through there. Surely it's emitting a lot of EMF waves, and a bird surely is more sensitive than us with these kind of things. Why would it go and sit on those lines? It's surely like, can't it be like, because I mean, if we, you know, like people can't sleep with the phone charging to the bed, surely the bird's like, oh my God, what the hell is this? I'm not going to sit on this wire. It's like, this thing's beaming off like a microwave. I'm going to like, you know, I was always find that interesting.
I have no idea.
I'm sure it's got to do with grounding.
I don't know why they can do that.
I think as long as you're thinking of
it, especially because I've heard of it, if they touch something else, it can do them in.
Yeah, so yeah, then they'll obviously get shocked to death. But I'm just saying, like the amount of energy.
I don't know. It seems bizarre. I know.
Aren't they encased in some sort of rubber? The actual wiring. I don't think it's just like exposed. I think there's some sort of.
I'm not sure.
They're in some sort of encapsulation, I think. Otherwise, rust and all sorts of stuff.
They emit huge.
Yeah,
but they do. They still emit a huge. You know, overseas you can't build, I think, within 300 meters of those power lines. Here we build under them, and then people wonder why they get sick, or they're arguing all the time, or they're not doing well, or they can't think, or they just don't flourish. You know, they manage. Mm. People manage, but you don't want to have to manage in your life. You know.
Yeah. Mm. Absolutely.
This is what an organite looks like. This is one of the ones that you can buy, that kind of thing.
What is it?
There's a lot of people who make them. So, sorry?
What is it? What is an organite? Yeah, but what is that? What is it? Is it a meteor?
It's,
like,
it's a resin.
Yeah.
A meteor? No, it's not. Organite was first a guy called Wilhelm Reich in the 30s or the 50s. He found organ energy, and he made a little organ capsule thing, and people would sit in there and they'd be cured of cancer. Mm. Well, they put him in jail for that, of course, and he died in jail. But anyway, his stuff actually survived, and this is the result. So people make it. So it's got crystals in there, it's got some kind of metal in there as well, and it's encased in a resin. And for some reason, it creates this, and it works. It really does work, actually, as a blocking or a slowing down of that energy.
Yeah, we spoke about him in our podcast, The Forbidden Technologies.
Are you talking about Ralph? Ralph?
No, not Ralph. Wilhelm Reich. He was one of the guys. Organ. Yeah, he was one. Remember, I said he was
Wilhelm Reich. Yeah.
Yeah, he was one of the guys that had discovered that organ energy. And he was using that machinery to. There was he had developed some other stuff as well, but yeah, we spoke about it. And
okay, cool.
Yeah. So we need to get some organ.
He did fantastic work. Mm. Sorry.
No, I said so. We need to get some organ.
Yes. Organ. Yeah. If you can, I don't know how you'd make it, but yeah.
Can you not buy it online?
You can get organite. Sorry, you can buy this online. Yeah, organite. You can buy the organite online. Yeah. What's his name? George makes it, and it's called Organize Africa. He sells it in Johannesburg, and he just ships it to you.
Okay.
So, Debbie, we were talking about such interesting things on the phone yesterday, and you said you want there's a heaven luck man luck. What were you mentioning about that?
Yes, in feng shui, in the feng shui, how they look at life is that we have heaven luck, man luck, and earth luck. And heaven luck is obviously your karma. Your life path that you've chosen, if you believe that, your destiny, whatever you want to call it, and you your astrology. Then you have man luck, and man luck is you. How do I deal with what is coming to me in my life? So whatever befalls me, good luck or bad luck, how do I handle it? And then you've got earth luck, which is your feng shui. So The idea is to always know what your, not always, it's an idea is to know what your astrology is, know who you are through your astrology, because you can definitely find out about that. So you can at least anticipate what's coming and deal with it, and use your own man luck to do with that. And then your earth luck is how you put your feng shui in. So you deal with your house, so you balance it, or your business, you balance it out, and you know where the difficult energies are, and you know how to use the difficult energies, and you know how to use the energy that are not so wonderful. And I personally like to avoid the areas that are not so wonderful, but there are thoughts, ways of thinking that says that you can actually use energy that are not so wonderful as well, because everything has a benefit and a negative. So yeah, so that's basically how it works.
Okay, well, that's actually great. Interesting you said, because Sadhguru, because I really enjoy Sadhguru, and he was saying that in the next...
he's good.
The next few years, I don't know if he said it was the next 3 years or 7 years or whatever. He says that the sun activity, there's a lot of sun activity, and solar flares really influence our...
electronics.
Like they amplify whatever we're going through. It's like a strong energy. And he also says that I don't know if he mentioned it, because we're in a certain area of the, because obviously that we're on the side of the Milky Way, and the Milky Way is obviously spinning. So like we go through certain areas of the galaxy every 30 whatever thousand years, and we're going through a certain part where there's a lot of like weird energy interference or whatever. So he says that this energy, you'll see it'll create more wars, it'll create more tension, it'll create, because it amplifies whatever is
absolutely
in us. And we can see that at the moment happening right now. But the thing is, he says that, but we can't look at it negatively, because this is amazing energy if you're on a spiritual path, because it can amplify your spiritual path. You've got to try and use the energy to like boost whatever you're going through, like in a positive way, because you can use that, what you would call bad energy, and transform it into like amazing energy. And it can like really like if you want to be at total peace and harmony and love, and you can use this like energy to just amplify the good stuff. And that's what you got to try to do. But people that aren't aware of that or whatever, it's just, you're just going to go through hell.
Exactly. It's true. And the feng shui, people say the same thing. The astrology says the same thing. We've moved into the nine period. And the nine period, as I mentioned, is all about that. It's spiritual growth. It's spiritual illumination. It's metaphysics. It's also technology, and it's also AI. And it's also about women coming into power, by the way. But it really is about us growing spiritually and using our innate power, or whatever you want to call it, God-given energies, to decide how we're going to live our lives, and decide how we are going to be acting in the world. Not that we didn't have that opportunity before, of course, but it seems to be amplified now that we really do have, behooves us more to decide how we want to live our lives better, to have more of a plan, or be more at peace, whatever, which way you choose to do it.
And then also, you said when yesterday when you were doing, we were looking at my flat, you said that I must move out of my house, my flat.
Do that, man.
I'm joking.
I don't often say that, but it wasn't that bad. You have to go along. You just have to see how it goes, because it's, yeah. You know, the reason is that there's the energy that's in power at the moment is stuck in the middle. So if you, I didn't say you had to move out. People don't like to be told that. It's a bit nerve wracking. So just be aware. And your intuition has been telling you anyway. So don't blame me.
No. I have actually been feeling I need to move on. But then what is there something in the meantime I can do to negate or just like block that energy or transform it or whatever? Is there something? Can I put some tourmaline on my forehead or something?
It would help, just in the middle here, just to get going. Maybe you should do a little dance. No. Look, it's not as all doom and gloom as one might look. You've got very good energy coming in through your bedroom, which has served you well for this last year or two. But that's going out of power now. But it's not going to just, it's like a moon. The moon doesn't just come in, whoa, it's full, and whoa, it's gone again. It slowly moves in and goes through its cycles all the way around. So the eight was in power for the last 20 years. It's now sliding out of power now. Okay, so you've still got that energy that's useful. And then we've got the useful one that's coming in through your lounge area where you're sitting. So that's also very useful. It's just that when there's an energy that is in power, you really want to use that energy. So the nine is in power. So you want to make sure that that is getting into your space nicely. You can use the yearly power, the yearly nine, but it comes in your kitchen and there's no window there. So that's, but still it's fine because you use the kitchen and that'll activate that energy a bit. So it's not like it's you're going to be cut off from your, the spigot's going to be going, you've got no more money now. No, it's not going to work like that. If it gets a little bit less, then you just know that, okay, things are not as, you know, full on as they were 3 or 4 months ago, then you might think, okay, that's time to think about going, yeah.
Okay, and also talking about the moon, and Dean, like you said, it's the gradual thing. I was actually talking to someone because I do these rituals and meditate every day, and he does the same rituals as me, and he was saying to me, "Have you noticed that if you don't do your rituals for like a day or two, like you start feeling so different?" But I mean, I haven't. I all do my things every day, but And I know that from meditating, like, you know, if I don't meditate for a while, I can feel the effect. But the I always wondered, like, okay, it must be like going to gym, you know, like, because you're working out your muscles. And obviously, if you don't go to gym, then your muscles atrophy. But he was saying to me, no, it's actually the moon. The moon, like, while it's moving across the sky, like, the moon takes all the energy to it, or the bad energy or something about the energy goes to the moon. And while it's moving, it's at a different angle to where the energy is, or something like that. But so he says it's all to do with the moon. So like after 2.5 days, because the moon's moving, if you don't keep your vibration up at a certain vibrational frequency through the rituals or meditation, whatever you're doing, the moon actually drains it while it's moving through the sky. Like, so every 2.5 days, it's quite a big energetical shift. So that's why you got to keep it up every day, so that the moon doesn't free you.
Stop doing something quickly.
No, but I was just thinking, is there something like that in feng shui?
That would be more the qi min side of things, which I don't really know much about, to be honest with you. So the qi min is about using, because he's right in a way that obviously that, in fact, it's not just the moon, it's all the planets. Yeah. So we are affected every day, every hour, by all the different planets. And qi min is one of those particular sciences, because it's an ancient thing that they use, I'll call it technology. It's ancient astrology kind of thing. And you can actually plot every day, every hour, to see which are your beneficial energies to use so that you're sitting in the right place to do your meditation for that particular day, because it's going to benefit you in that particular day. And that's qi min. So definitely, not, we don't use it in feng shui. No, that's more earthbound. Bazi or Baza is just astrology, but it's the qi min. If you're interested, that'll tell you everything every hour of the day.
Which is actually, I don't want to get into that because then I'm going to start going around my whole house meditating and be so freaked out. Like, oh my God, where's the chart? Okay, where must I sit today?
Sit to the toilet
and
today.
Like, and so I'm sitting on the TV, then I'm sitting on the stove, and then I'm sitting on the toilet, and then I'm like meditating on my...
toilet. No, but the thing is, you can find out good directions. I'll send you what your good directions are, and then you just use those main directions. You see, otherwise you start going crazy, exactly. And the thing is that these things are very useful if you have a specific thing in mind and you really are wanting to do a specific thing. Otherwise, every day you're going to be going, oh my God, I haven't done this today.
And I'm already like that with so many things. This is going to add.
No, don't. The thing is that we forget that we're the divine energy on earth here. Nothing can affect us, really. The only thing that affects us is our own minds that says, oh my goodness, this, oh my goodness, that, you know. And then we go, into all this fear and panic. It's, if we're at peace with ourselves, look, it's useful. Don't get me wrong. It's very useful to use these things, but don't go crazy with it.
Yeah, I get obsessive. But just going back to how the planets affect us, because, like, you know, when I speak to people about it and they just think it's a, you know, like astrology and that is all just a bunch of woo-woo stuff. But then I say to them, well, the moon like mm-hmm. affects women's menstrual cycles. It's all because of the moon. So the moon can Absolutely. Be such a powerful thing that actually yeah. affects someone to have their menstrual cycle. Imagine what the other planets are doing to mm-hmm. us. You know?
Well, you must remember now the moon exactly. also affects and the tides. And I mean, the tides is not because we're 70% water, so obviously it's going to affect us. I mean, the earth is 70% and the tides, well, the moon pulls it. It's very strong. The moon.
It's exactly. And remember the lunatic. Where do you think lunatic comes from? Hmm. It's because during the moon, the full moon, people literally go nuts. Well, some people obviously because I'm more sensitive to the energy of it. And all the more murders and all sorts of things, mayhem goes on at the full moon. So everything is affecting us all the time. But what I'm saying is that obviously it is affecting you. If you want to get involved with that, and you can start plotting, and your life can definitely get better because now you're anticipating what's coming, and you can definitely get on there and use it amazingly. You can do, absolutely.
There was actually a study.
If it's not something that you can get involved in, don't do it. Just because be peaceful.
That's why I want to see an astrologer, like with work stuff, because I want to know exactly when's the best time to have the important work meetings, when's the best time to start a project and everything. Because I heard that that's actually where success can come a lot if you plan it properly with the planets.
Absolutely. And the timing, the days, everything. And the Qi Min can help you with that as well. All of that can help you, for sure. Absolutely. And there's lots of good people. I told you about Darby. He's brilliant. And there's other people. I'll send you the names of them that will help you with that. But it's important. I mean, the Indians start things on the right day. They don't just willy-nilly. And the same with the Chinese. They don't just start building something. Oh, we'll start on Monday. No, there's a specific time that they start.
I've heard some stuff going around that they actually wanted to bring a 13th zodiac in.
I've also heard
that there's another planet that's missing, but it's, you know, it seems interesting that the Western astrology and the Chinese astrology only have 12. So if it's worked for thousands of years, I don't know what the 13th one is.
But that's, I've also heard that, and it makes sense because then all the days will be 28 days or whatever. So if you've got 13 months in a year, then it we won't be these mismatched. It'll be all equal. But then I'm also thinking, then when's our birth? Like my birthday is not going to be on the 3rd of July anymore. It might be like on the.
No, it's still 3rd of July. You're just no longer Sagittarius. You're now like Taurus or something.
Yeah. So I mean, it should be like, I'm just thinking, like, how do we jump ship after like thousands of years? Or I don't know how long the calendar's been going. Like, I mean, it just sounds like such a mess. And like, how would it even work?
I know. It boggles the mind.
It probably wouldn't, because all they're trying to do is they're trying to structure it. That's all it is.
Yeah. Because human beings, we want to see what's happening. I mean, it's. And as I said, it's been going on forever. They use feng shui or the Chinese astrology for everything, to go to war, to when the king must be crowned or the emperor must be crowned. Everything is done by the timing of the earth the whole time. So we have to know how to plot that. And we have known. Heaven only knows how they figured it out. But, as I said, I don't know about the 13th planet, to be honest with you. I don't. I've heard about it, but I don't know how it'll affect us. And of course,
Nibiru
the Chinese system of dating is.
There's that planet, Nibiru, the one from the Anunnaki. Nibiru.
Yeah. Apparently, it does a 3,600 year cycle around there. So, takes 3,600.
Have you watched
years.
That movie, okay. Magnolia? I think it's Magnolia, Lars von Trier, which is quite a hip art director. He made a movie called Magnolia, and it was magnificent, but it was about that planet that came and it hit Earth. I mean, it's so a really beautiful movie. But then he got banned from Cannes. He was Cannes' like golden child. At Cannes, he would win always like all the awards, but then he made some anti-Semitic remark and he's banned from Cannes now. But go watch that movie, Magnolia. It's amazing.
We'll watch it. Thank you. Yeah, we'll do. Yeah,
No, go for it, Debbie.
No, I'd forgotten that. Well, yesterday I mentioned, the other time I spoke to you, that you asked about water directions, and I didn't have all of them. So it was east, south, east, south, west, and north, if people want to put water in. But put it in carefully, that's all I'm saying. So are you going to ask me?
Hey, so we were talking about the Book of Miracles. What was that book that you were talking about? And then one of the messages.
The Course
we
in Miracles. Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, The Course in Miracles, yeah. It's worth reading. It was sort of channeled actually to a psychologist who was a an atheist, quite interestingly, and Jewish. So it was very interesting. And it's a book about letting go of the ego and understanding that we are more than the ego, because we all tend to think that we're the ego, and we're not. We're way more than that. It speaks about just letting go and how we are doing things and how not to do things, but not in a, it doesn't tell you how not to do them. It just shows you that this is how you need to let go of things like the ego. That's a simple message like that, because nothing is real. Nothing is real, actually. That's basically what it's saying. Nothing is real because it's all basically an illusion. We live in the illusion of our minds. And look, it feels real. I'm sitting at a table here. We've got a computer and we're working and everything. And we've got a body, but everything is an illusion because we make it up in our minds the whole time. And if you don't understand that, just think about a belief that you've had and you suddenly don't have that belief anymore. Suddenly everything's different.
I like to think it like, yeah, the illusion, because like you hear every sage and every holy man or like, you know, person that's been meditating for 30 years, they all come to the realization that it's all an illusion. And then like, I always used to think like, okay, well, so like what, nothing's real. Like, am I like, I'm not real here. Like everything I see is an illusion. But like what I've come to the conclusion is that there is certain like truths, like this table in front of me is here. That's a truth. That's real. But everything that I conceive around that, that's the illusion. So like how I feel about the table is is an illusion. Like
Like
my emotions are all the illusion, my thoughts are all the illusion, but the table is here. So like what I think about the table, that's an illusion. What I feel about the table, illusion. And that's about, it goes to everything. Like I see a person in front of me, that's real. But then what I think about the person, illusion. What I feel about the person, illusion. And that's everything in life. So that's to me the illusion, that everything that I think and I feel is all the illusion, but the table's real. And
But the thing is that ultimately even that isn't real, because if you think about it, if you could see space, you would see that there's a huge amount of space in the body as well.
Mm. So it's all molecules.
Obviously for practical reasons, yes. Mm. Sorry?
It's all frequency and molecules.
It's frequency, exactly. And you're quite right, William. It's our thoughts, and it really is our projection onto the world of our own perceptions. A very nice analogy from Rupert Spira is, we're like the TV, upon which the video of life plays, or the movie of life plays. When the video stops, the TV isn't, or that incident in your life is playing, but the TV isn't moved by it. The TV isn't blown up by the bombs. The TV isn't shot at. It's the movie that's playing. So we are the TV, or the made of love, and everything else is just whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then also that's a nice way of looking at it too. And also made me realize when people say, no, it's a choice. Like you're feeling depressed, that's your choice. That's a choice that you've made. And I used to always think like, but how can it be a choice? I'm like feeling like this. I don't choose to feel like this. I'm just feeling like this. But then I realized, because it is an illusion, that you have chosen it somehow subconsciously or whatever, and that you've chosen that because it's the illusion. Your emotions are just an illusion, actually.
Well, you must also remember there's a lot of perception that comes to play. So as an example, I spoke to a gentleman probably about 8 years ago. He was a spiritualist originally, and he used to deal a lot with mediumship. He used to deal with spirits. They used to talk to spirits lots. And he said to me the one day, oh, they're demons. And I said, but what do you mean? He said, no, they're demonic, because he had changed now to Christianity. I said, they're not demonic. It's just your beliefs have changed.
The belief system, yeah.
Yeah, as soon as your belief has changed, the things that you had before, it's just now it's changed off because this is what you believe. It doesn't mean they're demonic. It's just your belief.
Exactly. Yeah, and William, as we were speaking, just to go back to what we were speaking about, William, is that fair enough, if you're feeling depressed or whatever, it's no good pushing it away. You have to actually accept that you're depressed. Mm. And then when you accept it, that pressure of resisting it just goes away. So that's another thing of the perception thing, yeah. But it's definitely, it's all a perception.
Yeah, change your mindset at that time. I'm not a person that suffers with depression at all. I have many years ago, I had a little bit of it. I didn't understand, because you have dark thoughts and all those kind of things. But I think if you get to a point where you're having that, just you've got to try and picture that it will come to an end. Everything does. everything has a cycle. Everything in this world has cycles. Yes. So your bad, the bad stuff that's coming to you will come to an end. Just ride it out. Wait for it and then.
Yes.
Know, yeah.
But that's also like an AA. They say, they always say, sit with the feeling. And I never, because that's also another thing is that like that whole thing about, okay, you're feeling scared of something. And then again, it comes back to the thing like, yeah, but that's just a choice. You're choosing it. But, and then I said, you know, but that's also, I used to hate that because it's like, well, I'm actually feeling it. Like, how can I stop having that choice? But in AA, they would say, and we spoke about this yesterday, Debbie, is that you just got to sit with the feeling. And in AA, they used to always say, sit with the feeling.
And accept it.
And like, so if you sit there and you just like feel that fear or you feel the, and as you say, you just accept it. You say, you got to like say, I'm feeling fear now and really accept it and not push it away. Because that's also like you think, oh, it's a choice. I could just change my mind. I'll be like, okay, I'm feeling fear now. Now I'll just feel happy. And I'll just think of something happy. But then the thing is, you're also pushing that feeling of the fear away. And then it'll be like suppressed in you. So you sit with it. And if you sit with it for long enough, it eventually just disappears. Just like evaporates because you've like, yeah, as Lee says, it's not going to go on forever. You know, it's going to eventually subside. But you've got to sit with it to get it away.
You've got to acknowledge it. You see, I think it's the. If I always look at it like this, it's aware. It's showing. It's like shining the light of awareness onto something. Mm-hmm. If you have robbers in your garden, and you wake up and you see them, and you put the light on, what do the robbers do? They run away because you've shined the light on them. It's the same with your dark thoughts. If you can catch them and you can throw the light on, and you go, oh, I'm thinking these thoughts, but then you can add something. Well, I'm accepting this is how I'm feeling. Then you can say also that these thoughts are not true, because most thoughts are not true. Actually, they're made up of some perception or nonsense of our beliefs or something. Like they're not true. None of our thoughts, and that helps us to reduce the pressure of it, but the acceptance of it. A lot of philosophies have that actually. That like the Ho'oponopono, they say just accept it. I am responsible for this. I did this. Okay.
Yes, actually, I've got a wonderful Ho'oponopono actually meditation. I'll just find my book here. So maybe you can, I don't know if, Lee, is there anything else we're going to add on to all of this? Or
No, I'm done on my side.
I just thought maybe you could just end with this Ho'oponopono that people can take this away as a meditation. Because Ho'oponopono...
Well, that's a good idea,
To me, I don't know, I might have got this wrong, but what my research, the Ho'oponopono, well, they taught this certain meditation in Hawaii in mental institutions. It helped people, like, because they were going insane and or in their mind or whatever, and they did this meditation, and it helped relieve their suffering, like, tremendously. You know, I do this metaphysical classes on Thursday with a lady named Corrine here in Cape Town. If anybody's interested, I can send the details. And she actually taught us this meditation in one of your classes.
With the Ho'oponopono, the whole principle of the Ho'oponopono is that I take full responsibility for what is happening in the world. And that sounds like, oh my God, I'll die under all the guilt of all of that. But it isn't, because if I take full responsibility for whatever I'm feeling, because I have anger, so there's anger in the world. I mean, it's taking it quite a long way, but this is what the Ho'oponopono stands for, is that if I take full responsibility for myself creating the world, not in a guilt way, but in a way that I'm taking full responsibility, I can change. Not that I want to change the world, but the world changes automatically because I'm clearing up my own problems in myself. And Dr. Hu Lin was doing that in the mental institution, and apparently he didn't even talk to any of the patients, the inpatients, and he just did the work on himself. He just cleaned him. He calls it cleaning. Cleaned himself. And those people all went home, I think except for one, went home completely sane. And that's also, we think that's a bit odd, but if you think about during the Soviet Gulag nonsense, horrors of hundreds of millions of people getting killed, Solzhenitsyn, he wrote that book, The Gulag Archipelago, Alexander Solzhenitsyn.
Yes, I've read that book.
There we go. In prison, he worked out that he was the cause of his own getting into that prison. And from doing that, the whole Soviet thing fell apart, the whole thing, because he wrote these books and everything changed because he knew he was the cause of all of that. Not as a guilt, as a responsibility, because we're here to take responsibility for our lives.
As a contributor.
And that's what the Ho'oponopono is about, is taking. Sorry?
As a contributor. He was contributing to the bad.
Exactly. Because if you look inside, exactly. Because we've got anger, we've got all of this stuff, and we think we're keeping it here, but it's not. It's actually spreading out everywhere, you know? If one person who's enlightened can influence 10 million people, an unenlightened person is probably doing the same thing.
Yeah, because there's that thing where, you know, if you meditate, if like one person that is meditating affects like, you know, like 100 or whatever people around them. And then if, you know, like so one enlightened person affects like 1,000 people around. It depends on the level of enlightenment you are. Like Jesus obviously affected like billions of people. Mm. But if you're a certain amount of enlightenment, it picks up the frequency of like 100 people around you. And then if you go up, then 1,000 people around you, there's that whole, until, you know, if you get so enlightened like Jesus, you'll be affected billions of people and for centuries after that. And then also there's that whole thing of that town, they did that meditation. There was like of 1% of the people meditated. And the percentage of the crime rate dropped in the town by
Washington.
Quite a huge amount. So like if there's enough people meditating, it would actually affect such a large amount of the world and raise everyone's frequencies. Because we, you know, so it's all from working on yourself. And that's why they say, like, if you want to change the world, you change yourself. So like if we just change ourselves one person at a time, then the whole world will be a better place. So you've got to stop thinking from outside of yourself and wanting to go and start fighting the Israeli war there or something, because like you want to save the world. You've got to sit at home, clean up your own life, clean up your own misery, clean up your own head, clean up your own thing. And then that's how we fix the world. That's how we bring world peace. It starts with yourself. And that's the people that understand that we're all miserable, thinking, oh, the war there. It's like, no. You're projecting. It's like, start with yourself. How's your marriage with your wife? How's you treating your kids? How are you feeling inside? Are you depressed? Like, you are depressed. You are full of shit because look how you are so upset with everything outside of yourself. You're upset with the war there.
Exactly.
Because there's something inside of you that you've not dealt with, and you're projecting it onto that war out there. And it's something you've got to look inside and find out what is bugging you about that. What you got to sit there. You've got to figure it out. Find out, okay, that's what it is. That's what I've got to change in myself, my life. And then that's where you'll become.
Let it go. Not even change. You don't have to change anything. You just have to know it and let it go. Yeah, absolutely.
The thing is,
if you do the right thing. Sorry?
No, so it's like the analogy for the drop in the ocean. You think, what I do is just a drop in the ocean. But that drop in the ocean becomes a ripple. That ripple could become a tsunami.
Absolutely. And on practical terms, I mean, just say you have a fight with your wife or your husband and you walk into the street and then somebody comes along and greets you and you go, oh, and you just, now you're going to put them out, you know. And I know it sounds silly. Now that person's upset and they're walking along and then they're like, oh, then the next person gets upset. Then you go to the shop and you shout at the shopkeeper and or the shop lady or whatever. Then she's miserable for the day. So we don't realize the effect we have. And even energetically, and I remember a friend of mine, she said, I was standing in front of the shop and she said, I was just looking at the sun and just loving the day. She said, two or three people came up and said, you know, you've got such beautiful energy. This is a busy shopping center. So she was just loving the day. She didn't have a thought in her head of, oh my God, the street's dirty. And what is that man doing over there? And look at that bloody woman. No, she was just loving the day. And these people all felt it.
So, anyway, Debbie,
is your Ho'oponopono thing?
Is
there anything else you want to say, Debbie? Is there anything else?
No, I think
that
that's all. Thank you. I hope you got enough info on the other stuff. Yeah,
So if you think where your pineal gland is in the middle of your head, right? Like
at the back.
So like not on the forehead, not at the back of the head, but it's like in the middle behind your eyes. So you start bringing awareness to the top sides of your head. I don't know, people that are not watching the video on YouTube, the just about the top of your head on each side, like in the middle, on the left and right.
Your ears.
So if you go up straight above your ears to about almost where your head plateaus, from each side of your ears, you go up there, you bring awareness there into two points. And you say, when you bring that awareness there, you say, I'm sorry. And then you bring the awareness inside your head, just lower. So you're going into like a V shape towards the pineal gland. And you find like three areas. So you start there, I'm sorry. You bring the awareness a bit closer to the pineal gland in a V shape at two more points. And you say, please forgive me, in your head. Or you can say it out loud. And then you bring it down in a more of a V shape towards the pineal gland and you find 2 more points and you say, thank you. And then you get to the pineal gland and you say, I love you. And you can just keep doing that. And like, yeah, if everybody does that, I'd love the listeners to just try that for 10 minutes or even 5 minutes every morning, every evening, and then write back to us and tell us how you feel after a month of doing that. And also when you, like, it also helps when you're really angry. Like I've tried it a few times when I'm like in a situation where I'm in a frustration or something. And even when I'm driving and I just go, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And just focusing on those points towards the pineal gland. And then it goes away a lot quicker.
It works really well because it pulls you into yourself and you're asking for forgiveness for yourself. So, you know, why not? And why shouldn't you forgive yourself?
Mm. Yes. Yeah,
cool. Mm. All right. Awesome. Man. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, dudes. Thank much appreciated much. Again for your time. That's just part two of our.
Thank you so much. Lovely chatting.
Please don't forget to send your email address so that we can put it on the podcast.
I will do that. Thank you. Right. Lovely. Thank you. Fantastic. Have a lovely day. And thanks again. Hey?
Yeah, Debbie, thank you, man.
Chat with you.
You too.
Have okay. Thanks, Debbie. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Cool, man.
Okay, cool, Lee.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, well, fantastic. Thanks again, Will, for your time. And thank you again, everybody, for listening. It has run a little bit longer today, but I hope you enjoyed the topic. And we'll speak to you guys next week. Have a good week, guys. Cheers.
Okay. Love everybody. Cheers, Lee.